What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Tom Sine has worked as a social worker, educator, and headed up a community development project in Haiti for World Concern. These days, he spends a lot of time connecting with a new generation of innovators. Those connections led him to write his latest book, The New Conspirators. Tom also teaches at Fuller Theological Seminary in Seattle and is part of Mustard Seed Associates. Tom Sine joins me in the studio this morning. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Rodney, it's a delight to be with you and your good friends here in beautiful Perth. I've never been here before, and it's such a lovely place.
You think you might set up home here?
Well, my wife's a Sydney woman, and I might be able to get her back to Sydney. I'm not sure I could get her all the way to Perth.
It's a bit further. Let's go back to your book, The Mustard Seed Conspiracy. It was released in the early 80s, and it was widely read back then, and it seemed to advocate a fairly radical approach to living out faith within community. All these years later, is it still a relevant way to express faith and to make a difference to our society?
Rodney, it sure is. And what I'm finding is people all over the world are still discovering that God uses ordinary people, mustard seeds, to make a difference. And I'm particularly challenged by the young blokes, the 20 and 30-year-olds. I call them the new conspirators, because they really want to put God's purposes first in their life, and they want to make a difference. And so I'm seeing them just discovering every day new ways to be a difference and make a difference.
Because a lot of people have had a taste of what they see as church.
Sure.
And they say, I'm not interested.
Sure.
I want something that's a bit more alive. Now, that's not the case for everyone, and there's still certainly a relevant place for the church as it has been. But more and more people are saying there's got to be a different way to live out faith if it's going to be relevant and going to make a difference. And,
sure.
And these are the sort of people that you're talking to at the moment.
Oh, yeah, it's really true. I was with some researchers, Philip Hughes and some of his mates in Melbourne, that look at the church, and average church attendance has dropped to 8.5% here. It's 8% here. It's 6.5% in Britain, 17.5%. All over, the church is slowly going out of business, and we're losing our young people at a rate we've never seen before, Rodney. Very concerning. But what's happening is that young people are creating new expressions of church. There's a cafe church in Sydney where people would never go to a traditional church, sit down over coffee and talk about Jesus. There are new missional thrusts just at the Forge. And Forge young people are creating churches that are just a broad array of ways to engage people through sport, through art centers, just terribly imaginative. And I think older folks can learn from them. In fact, the Uniting Church has something called U-Turn that Glenn Powell runs that's helping older people, older women do sewing clubs for primary age kids. And they're creating new ways to reach out in their community. So there is much to give encouragement, even though very concerned that we're losing so many of our young folks from the church. The good news is that God is raising up young people who are reinventing the church and creating new expressions that make a difference.
Do you feel that in the past perhaps the church was trying to give people a set of beliefs, and yet now they're trying to say there's a different way to actually live and caring more for the whole person?
Well, I think the church is trying to find its way, but I use a film from Australia that I just love called Strictly Ballroom, and we've compressed it down to 5 minutes, and it's about
that,
young.
That would take some doing.
Well, we've done it, and in fact, I've got it in my coat pocket. I can show it to you, but it's a beautiful metaphor for the church, because Scott, this young bloke at this international dance competition, you know, starts dancing his own steps, and the old guys go daft. We can't have you dancing your own steps. And it's a metaphor for the church. There's a hunger for spirituality among 20 and 30-year-olds in Britain, in the U.S., in Australia, but it's not a hunger for the kind of packaged dance, the prescribed steps kind of spirituality. So I think older churches need to learn to engage the young people, and just bringing in one contemporary worship song from the 70s for morning worship isn't really doing it.
I suppose people might be a little fearful when they hear you talking, because they're saying, well, are you then changing the message of faith? Are you changing the essentials of the gospel?
Absolutely not. These young people are keener on Christ and his kingdom. And what they want is not just orthodoxy. Rodney, they want orthopraxy. They want us to walk the talk. they are calling for authentic faith, and they're not impressed, frankly, with what a lot of us older folks that give so much of our lives to the rat race, getting ahead in our career, getting ahead in the suburbs, where following Jesus is little more than a devotional afterthought. They're not keen on that. They want a whole life faith. They want to go for it. They want to make a difference. And so they're not only keen on following Jesus, they want to see it lived out 24/7.
We've seen big movements like the Make Poverty History over the last few years, and people around the world, not necessarily people of faith, but people around the world are starting to see we can make a difference to, sure, to poverty, and they care about these things. We're seeing a big push for being great stewards of what we've been given on, right, this planet. And these are God things, but people don't connect that with God anymore.
No, they don't. But we just had a great meeting last night talking about issues of peak oil and sustainability. And, you know, you're sending a lot of resource from Perth to China. And there's such a hunger for the resource, but it's increasing the levels of global warming. And I think that middle-class Australians, like middle-class Yanks, are going to have to create more sustainable lifestyles. We're going to have to find ways to reduce our footprint, but ways to make a difference for the poor and for God's creation.
People are thinking, well, yeah, and especially here in Australia, yeah, that sounds okay, but does it work? And that's the essential thing. Show me something that works, and, sure, and I might sign on the line.
Sure.
So are these people just thinking about new ways of doing things and trialing things, or are there runs on the board? Have we seen that this works?
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing, as I wander, for example, there are 25 young blokes that are a part of an emerging church in Chichester, England, that made a commitment because God is calling them to work with at-risk kids in the streets, to limit their work hours to 30 hours a week so they can free up 20 hours a week to work with at-risk kids. And if you talk to the kids they work with, you'd find it really does make a difference. But it takes that kind of really putting God's purposes the center of life, which is not happening, frankly, for most American Christians. We're so caught up in the cool stuff and getting ahead in our big houses and our comfortable careers that the things of Christ and the things of mission are really being pushed to the margins.
But if we're only working 30 hours a week, we're not going to be able to afford that plasma TV.
There you go. Not only plasma TV, they don't have the latest sound system. They live like people I've been with in Peacetree Community here, young blokes that you're going to be talking with, again, that live very, very good lives. They garden together. They work with their poor neighbors. But I can tell you they're not living palatially. There's not much luxury at Peacetree.
Well, I guess now it's time to introduce Jared McKenna, who is from Peacetree Community and working in the Lockridge area. Good morning, Jared.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. This is the question that I just asked Tom. Is it working? Is it something that is really sustainable? Is it really making a difference? Tell us just a thumbnail sketch of what you are doing in that area.
Thumbnail sketch.
Which means we haven't got the rest of the day.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're trying to be church. By God's grace and empowerment, we're seeking to be church. And so questions for us that came up was, we've known what we've experienced that to be in the places that we came to faith. But looking back at the scriptures, and what did it mean for the early Christians who were filled with this radical, and it's like implications of the gospel and this kingdom message, which butted up against the kingdoms of the world, that they were living this different way. So for us, it's been looking back at the early Christians and seeing how their lives relate to things like economics, seeing how their lives were countercultural, seeing how their lives were living on the land in ways that spoke of vines and fig trees, living in peace and unafraid. And we're seeking, and Tom's been yapping on about this stuff forever. Like his Mustard Seed Conspiracy was written before I was born, and
at least 300 years.
you look back at that, or even one of the things he was talking about in Mustard Seed Conspiracy, written in 1980, was we need a renaissance of imagination, and on this new generation, which we feel privileged to be a part of. One of the words that you find on our lips over and over again is what Walter Brueggemann called the prophetic imagination, imagining what would this world look like if God's will did happen here, the will that we've seen revealed in Jesus. What would this love, what would this justice, what would this peace, what would this non-violence that we see in the person of Jesus look like, lived out in our suburbs? So in very very small ways, unimpressive ways. But the thing is, when we move from thinking of effectiveness and start moving into faithfulness, it either gets really boring or really exciting, because it's either an opportunity for the way we've worked to die and something else, like a mustard seed, to grow up, or it's an opportunity for a whole new imagination of how we approach life. And so things like, we run a permaculture garden where we get involved people in the local area who've been long-term unemployed and get their hands in the dirt, get them feeling good about seeing this change on this little small plot of land, things that speak of beauty, things that speak of restoration, things that make connection in the communities, not with programs, but with people, real people, not with an agenda of, hey, I want to see you in my pew on Sunday or whatever else, but what is the spirit doing in their life to bring about restoration and healing and peace, and include them in this revolution of what Tom calls this new conspirators of this mustard seed revolution, which Jesus not only taught but embodied.
The sort of things you're talking about, many would phrase as a social gospel. And for many years, people have been afraid that, you know, you're talking about all these social justice type issues and that kind of thing, and you're moving away from the central message of the gospel. But is that really the case?
I think we need to ask the question, what is the central message of the gospel? Yep. And what is this gospel that Jesus preached? Because, frankly, he didn't preach fire insurance for the afterlife. Jesus wasn't coming to make sure that our disembodied souls all get plucked out and go to live on clouds once we die. This wasn't a message of God's really scary. You better get God, and the way that God's killed his son so he doesn't have to kill you after death. And this is something... I mean, that's a caricature, but sometimes when we step into churches, that's almost what people hear, and sometimes that's been people's experience when they're like young. But Jesus said that the kingdom of God is here. In fact, that this kingdom, which wasn't about pie in the sky when we die in the by and by, but was in fact about God's alternative reordering of the world, God's intention, God's dream for creation is coming about now, that it's happening, and change your life and get in on this good news. And when people start to wake up to the message of the kingdom of God, they realize that it's not just about a private spirituality that I can fit alongside everything else that I'm doing in my life. It instead is about a spirituality that is good news for creation, a spirituality that is good news for the poor, Amen. A spirituality that is good news to our world that is living in ways that are actually suicidal. Like, we're facing an ecological crisis that's unprecedented, we've never seen before. And sometimes when we step in our churches, it can sound like we're offering a spirituality of escapism instead of God's great cleanup plan for all of creation, which he has started in Jesus, Amen. Empowers us by the Holy Spirit to get involved in.
Tom, Jared was just talking there about a spirituality that seems to go along all the other stuff,
sure,
along with all the other stuff in our lives. And that can certainly seem to be the way in the Western world, that we live in a very consumeristic society, sure. and we want this and we want that, and our spirituality fills a compartment. Sure. What you're talking about seems to be more all-encompassing, something that a faith that really goes to the core.
Yeah, it does, and undoubtedly you and your readers have probably heard of an American book called Purpose Driven Life. My wife and I actually wrote a book 3 months before called Living on Purpose, and we're with Baptists in Sydney last Sunday, and we're simply affirming something that Baptists and Anglicans and everyone in the church agrees with. Everyone's called, not just pastors and missionaries. And if that's true, then why not, through small groups, help one another discern through scripture, through prayer, through community, through the needs of others, what God's call is on our life. And then over 40 days, unlike the other book, help people actually reinvent where their time and money goes. Mm. So the call of Christ, joining Christ in mission to the world, is at the center of every family's life, not at the margins. And I think that's within reach, and I think most people in traditional churches can get that and understand that to follow Christ, it's not just to have something in our heart, but to join Christ in his missions. Out of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's called me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captives. What it meant for him to be Messiah was to commit his life to the purposes of God, and what it meant for his those first disciples to be followers were to put mission at the center of their lives. And that's I think right. we need to join people like Jared and people in Peace Tree and other communities, some of these young blokes that are really starting to show us what it looks like to follow Jesus by becoming whole life disciples, whole life stewards, and discovering the good life of God is not the pursuit of more, but it's giving our lives away in service to God and others. There's where we're going to find the real joy of life.
Well, thank you very much for spending a bit of time with us today. Been speaking to Jared McKenna from Peace Tree Community and Tom Sine, who's the author of the new book, The New Conspirators. Thank you so much. We wish you all the best with the book. Hope that people don't just read it, but start to put it into action. And thank you for spending time with us today.
No worries. Thank you, Rodney.
Thanks.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.